Hi, this is Guy Smith, the pastor of One Life Church. I want to thank you for tuning in to this message. You know, all the messages that we create and really everything that we do at One Life Church is about fulfilling what we have as a biblical mission to make and guide fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. My prayer and our prayer as a church is that as you tune into this message, that you will be blessed and your faith will grow and that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart and guide you towards a deeper faith and a greater mission for the cause of Christ. Enjoy.
Father God, we thank you so much for the blessing of coming together as the body of Christ today to brush shoulders with each other, to worship you with like-minded believers, to lift high the name of Jesus, to be reminded ourselves that you are the cornerstone, that we need you, that you're the foundation, that everything else is built upon you, that our entire faith is rested on the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, may we always remember that. May we always keep that central. May we always know that we are truly want to be fully devoted followers of your Son, Jesus Christ. So we pray, Lord, where now as two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, that your Holy Spirit will meet us here, that you will guide all of our conversations, all of our words, and all of our thoughts will be centered in on you and what you want to do in our lives individually and as a body today. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm an island. You could be an island. I don't need people. I don't need society. I don't really need community. I could sit in my basement, or you could sit in your bedroom, or in your den, or in your living room, with slippers and a robe and a hot tea or a hot cocoa or a hot coffee, with an internet connection and a laptop or an iPad, and run your entire life. And never have to talk to, in person, any other human on the planet. You could be an island. You order your clothes at oldnavy.com. You order your books and everything else at amazon.com. Toys for your kids. You can order your groceries online. You can order flowers online. You can go to 1-800-flowers.com and you can send your wife or your husband flowers. And you can pay another man to hand your wife flowers in a box. And you can do that from the comfort of your basement as an island. Never have to talk to anybody. You and I can sit in our kitchen and look in our pantry and say, oh, I need some tomato paste. And with a few strokes of the mouse, within a couple days, the UPS man will show up and give me a can of tomato paste. We can do anything we want to without interacting physically with other people. I don't have to come to church to get what I need or what I think I need from church. I don't have to. I don't need it. I could list for you multiple excellent websites from some of the biggest and best churches and some of the most famous and best pastors and preaching and teaching pastors on the planet. And with a few strokes of the mouse and the keyboard, you can sit in your basement and you can watch somebody else from across the world preach an incredibly riveting, pull you in, tell me the truth sermon and absorb that information. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you through that and work in your life through that. TV, internet, radio. You can, while you're watching this sermon, you can interact with other Christians from anywhere in the world in this forum and talk about the message or follow up with these online pastors. You can go to small groups online. You can do Bible studies online. You can watch anyone you want to on TV anywhere you want to. They even have a fancy little a give button on the church website where you can also give your tithe. Or a 1-800 number where you can give your tithe. You can go to church from your basement to any church virtually in the world and get what you want. We are trying to play that game a little bit and balance both of those, have the online world, but also have a real life community. But because you're an island, because in our modern day, you don't ever have to interact with people. You don't have to interact with people to do anything. To get your groceries, your clothes, your insurance, your building supplies, anything you need all the way down to church, you don't need people. You don't need people. In fact, anytime you tried to do these things with people, what happens? Strife, disagreement, pain. Oh, he looked at me crooked. Oh, he was paying more attention to the other customers or the other church members, the other clients. Oh, he didn't really put forth a full effort, I can tell. Just like the baseball players on TV, I can tell they're not running hard. I can see it. But anytime we brush shoulders with other people, strife, strife, strife. So what do? Amazon.com, church online, oldnavy.com. Get what I want without having to talk to anybody. If I'm talking to customer service, it's going to be in an email. Because when people come together, so my question to you today, why in the world are you here? Are you crazy? Why did you climb out of bed bright and early on a Sunday morning to come and sit in a room with people? When the world will tell you and the access that we have will tell you that you don't need to be here. Because in our American consumerism mentality, if I'm just here to get, not to give, why do I need to be here? Because when I come here, well, I'm putting myself out there. It's cold. You know, I got to get in my car. I got to warm up my car. I got to drive however many miles you live from here. And I got to walk in, take my coat off, and sit down, and somebody might talk to me. The message might be about money or sex, and I don't want to hear it. If you've been here the last 2 weeks, you know what I'm talking about. Why do you put yourselves through this when we don't have to? Because we live in a world of 24/7 access, instant information, mobile mindsets, everything I need, I get it right now when I want to. So my question to you is, why are you here? Does Christian community, in-person, local Christian community still matter today? Does it still matter to our faith? Because like I said, you don't have to be here. All of these churches, you know, most of these online things, they're also marrying with the local thing, right? Like we want to play both of those games, but because if we don't play both of those games, we're going to get left behind. We've got to be moving forward. It's important, but you can do all of it there. Does it matter? Does it matter? And aside from the technology piece, is it new? Is it new for Christians to, I don't need to be here. I got my Jesus. I got my cornerstone. I got my rock. I got my salvation. Why go back and face the strife and the disagreements that come? Why take a risk of putting myself out there vulnerably where I might get hurt? Why do that? Why? Now I want to show you in Scripture that the Apostle Paul had some very strong language when he lets the church know about the need to come together, even though so many of us are already saved. We're already, you know, that's why they, why do you think they print Bibles, right? Like they print physical Bibles. I don't have to have a Bible app. I have a Bible. I can go sit in my basement and I can read my Bible and I can get the message and I don't have to listen to some second-rate pastor tell me what he thinks that it means. I can read it and decide what it means. I have Jesus. I have salvation. I have heaven. What else is there? What else is there? Now, the truth is, you know, if we would, when I think about the Apostle Paul being a well-known, probably a famous figure in the church at the time, if the church would come together on a regular weekly basis, they may look around and see all these empty seats and all these people that, well, you got saved last week, you got baptized last week. Why in the world are you not here? Well, you know what? That guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to come back when Paul's in town. I'm going to come back when Peter comes to visit, right? Just like we could do. Any of these, I could call up dozens, and they probably wouldn't listen to me, right? They wouldn't answer the phone, but I could try to call up dozens of famous pastors, and we could put the funds together to pay for them to come here, and we could shuffle them up here on stage, and I could tell you, we tell the community, it would be standing room only in here. Even though they're preaching the same gospel. But we have this drive in us to say, well, I will come when that guy's here. I will come when this matters. I will come when that's important. But here's what Paul says in our first scripture, Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 3. I just want you to see that this is something that is happening early on, that people were kind of not seeing the value in Christian community because it came with strife, because they thought they got their thing and they could go. But there's work to do. There's people to love. But we have this tendency in this built-in piece of us where it's like, especially the introverts among us, where we're just like, I just want to back up and sit in my basement and be left alone, right? What's it worth? So here's what Paul says, and I love how he says all of this. He says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Remember, this is a letter written to the church. So he's writing this letter to Christians, and he's saying, I beg you, I plead with you, I, with every ounce of effort I have, everything that I can exert inside of me, won't you please, as a Christian, live a life worthy of the call, worthy of the cause of Christ, worthy of the one who took your sin to the cross and died in your place. Won't you please, look at that, beg you, won't you please live a life that is worthy of this, please. For you have been called. So always be humble, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So translation, it's gonna be hard sometimes. There are people among you, it might not be you, right? Like I'm doing pretty good, right? But there are gonna be people here that have faults, right? I know it's not going to be me, but there will be someone here with faults. So Paul is saying, I need to be patient with this person who has some faults, but because I love them and Jesus loves them and Jesus loves me. So he says, make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Make every effort to keep yourselves united. Every effort to say, even though we live in a world where I can be an island, where I don't need the challenges that come with sitting next to other Christians that I don't like but I'm told to love, put forth the effort to bind yourselves together with peace. So knowing that this isn't a new thing, that even just a handful of years after Jesus was crucified and resurrected, people were getting their Jesus, getting their salvation, taking home their Bibles and saying, I'm good now. I'm just going to sit here by myself in my basement until I get taken home or Jesus comes back. Knowing that that's something that was happening, but yet knowing that we live in a world where we we literally don't need to be here, because back then people didn't have printed Bibles. People didn't have internet preachers or television preachers or radio preachers. People just had the preacher came to town and the local guys were reading letters and doing the best they could to help people walk with Christ. But knowing that on top of this already being a problem 2,000 years ago, and it's more and more of a thing today, does local Christian community still matter? Does it still matter? Why in the world are you here? Welcome to Preach to the Choir Sunday. Like, I'm here, lay off, I'm here. Welcome to Preach to the Choir Sunday. So I want to give you real quick today three reasons to participate in Christian community. And you've got these on the back of your bulletin if you're a note taker with fill in the blanks. And the very first thing that we have on there is righteousness takes training. Righteousness takes training. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. For training in righteousness. So, for example, the Pittsburgh Marathon is always at the beginning of May. It's always the first Sunday morning in May. So the churches, and I've seen this, the churches and people that have Sunday morning businesses that operate in Pittsburgh, they have to shut down on Sunday morning or move their services on Sunday morning. It's always the first Sunday in May. So if you and I, if you decide one day, you're like, you know what? Say you decide today, say there's something, when I just say the word Pittsburgh Marathon, you're like, I gotta do that. Or maybe you're like, I would never do that, right? But say you decide today that you want to do that, and you've got until May. You're like, all right, I'll run 26.2 miles in one day. I got that. But you do nothing until the morning of the marathon, and you get out of bed, and you get in your car, and you put on your cool, you kind of put on your cool athletic shorts, maybe some brand new sneakers that aren't broken in yet, and some cool like tight Under Armour shirt, and you get in your car and you drive down to Pittsburgh and you step out to the starting line and you're like, all right, let's do this. And everybody's around you, they're all stretching, they're all kind of doing their thing, they're all taking their, they got like these special belts on that are just all these energy drinks and all these gels and stuff that they're taking to make sure that they can do well. And you're like, I'm ready. And somebody looks at you and they're like, with that pudgy body, you think you're going to do this? And you're like, yeah, I got this. They're like, well, what's your longest you've ever run? I'm like, what? I've never done that, but I'm here for the game. Right? I'm here for the day. It's like when football players tell you that the hard work is done while you're sleeping. The training is done while you're sleeping. The training isn't done on Sunday whenever all the fans are in the arena. The training isn't done at the marathon when 30,000 other people show up. The training is done from now till May. Because you once you get there, you want to arrive, you want to be who you want to be, there's work involved. There's work involved. And if you were here for the Colossians series, we talked a lot about our goal as Christians to work towards sanctification, to work towards being more Christ-like. So that I get saved and I praise the Lord. Now God looks down and he doesn't see my sin. He sees Jesus's perfection, Jesus's holiness, Jesus's sinlessness. And I can rest in that. And know that if God takes me home today, I'm stepping into heaven. I can rest in that. But while I'm still kicking, I'm called to live more and more like Christ and become more and more Christ-like. And to become righteous, it takes some training. So when we come together, it's not just, we don't just sing songs because we like singing. And I don't just share guys' top 10 ideas on how to live a great life because I think it's a good idea. I don't think that you probably would come for that very long. We're singing songs that are based and rooted in Scripture, and rooted in the Holy Spirit speaking to an author and inspiring them to share God's message through song. And we put messages together that are built out of God's holy and inspired, God-breathed word. And when we do that, training in righteousness means it's going to be some hard work, right? You're going to hear some scriptures. You're going to hear some words. You're going to hear some truth that's going to demand correction. It's going to demand some reproof. It's going to demand some realignment. It's going to demand that if I want to be righteous, I want to be good, I want to be more like who Christ calls me to be, it's going to be a little bit hard. You don't just show up at the dance. It takes training to become righteous, which means it takes the word of God. It takes Christian community. It takes a brother or sister saying, hey, let me straighten this out for you. Let's sit down to coffee and talk about what this looks like. Just like training for that marathon. It takes 10 to 20 weeks of correction, figuring out your pace, figuring out how to up your mileage, do the work, so that whenever the day comes, you can do it because you've put in the work. And these are things that you can get pieces of without Christian community, but you can't get all of it outside of the relationships with the people in this room, right? We need each other. Righteousness, it's doing what is right in accordance with godliness. It's growing in our faith. So that's number one, the reason why we are called, one, number one, matter of Christian community. So the second thing on your list is you need stirred up. You need to be stirred up. And I love this phraseology. Hebrews 10:24 says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Let's sit there for a second. I love this. How many times do we say, well, I'm a Christian. I got my Jesus. I got my Bible. I got my individual personal call. I've got my purpose. I know that the Lord is speaking to me, and I know I'm called to love God and love people, love God and love others. So I'm going to live my life to love God, and then I'm going to love others and my family and my friends and the strangers that I see, and I'm going to do so much good. I'm going to find my cause, and I'm going to run after it passionately. But when we try to do that by ourselves, quickly that flame will die down and maybe even go out to just a puff of smoke of the passion that you used to have, because no one is stirring you on to love and good works. It's a lot like in this too. Say I go home today and I want to make some lemonade. Okay. So I go home this afternoon, like, the Steelers aren't playing. So I'm just going to sit here. I'm going to watch somebody else try to play football. Right. And I'm going to make myself some Country Time lemonade. So I stop by Shop and Save, grab a can of powder, and I go home and I take a glass out of the cupboard and I sit it on the counter and I fill it up with water. And then I put 3 big honking scoops of Country Time lemonade powder in there. And I sit that down and I sit the spoon beside it. And I go back and I sit on the stool on the other side of the kitchen and I just look at it. I just look at it. I'm like, that glass of water is full, right? It's full of lemonade powder. It's all this beautiful foggy water. And I just look at it and I wait. I'm like, I know now that that glass is filled with lemonade, I know it's only a matter of time where I'll be able to walk over there and drink a delicious glass of Country Time lemonade. I know I will. Just like the person who gets saved and then filled with the Holy Spirit but decides after a while to just sit still and just, I can do this myself. I can do this myself. What's going to happen if I don't walk over there? It's just going to get hard. the water and the powder are going to slowly separate more and more to where that foggy water starts to get clearer and clearer and clearer. And the lemonade powder at the bottom is going to get brighter and brighter and thicker and eventually harder and harder and harder. And if I wait a couple weeks or a couple months, eventually I may even have to throw out that glass because it's so solidified in there. What is that glass of lemonade waiting for? It's waiting for some outside force, some outside influence, somebody else to walk over and pick up that spoon, stick it in the glass, and stir, and stir, and stir, and stir, so that all of that love and all of that good works and all of that good taste can fill the vessel and fire it up for more love and more good works in the Christian life. How important it is that we allow other believers to stir us up. We need each other. You go out there in the world and you try to live your life without anybody else. Say, I'm going to be a do-gooder, but I don't want any other Christians to come along with me. You're not going to last. You're not going to last. At some point, you are going to need other passionate followers of Christ to come alongside you and join you in that mission. We need each other. We need physical, local, in-person relationships so that we can stir each other on. How do we do that? The next verse says, by not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. By committing to meeting together and encouraging one another and saying, all right, I'm going to help you mix that up. I'm going to help you. I will help you hold that spoon. I will help you make this happen. And we do that because the day is drawing near. Because even today, we are one day closer to Jesus coming back and ripping the sky open, trumpets blare, and we all go home. We are excited about that, right? We live for that. That's the message of the New Testament is be, get saved. Place your faith in Jesus Christ so that when he comes back, that's what we're looking forward to. We're either going to pass away in this life and step into heaven by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or the world is going to end. Jesus is going to come back and take us home. Because we look forward to the day and we want to look forward to the day together. We need to be stirred on together. That's why Christian community matters, because we're on this mission as a team. The third matter of Christian community, reasons to participate, is your part matters to us. Your part matters. Not just to you, but yes to you, but also to us. It matters to us. Together we are better. Together we can impact greater. Together we can reach differently, because your gifts are not my gifts and my gifts are not your gifts. Together, as a part of the body of Christ, we can do more and we can do greater things. The follow-up of the rest of the passage of what I started with when we were in Ephesians 4, it goes like this, and I want to read all of this to you, but kind of hone in for us in conclusion on the last verse of this. It's Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. So I read that as the teaching pastor. I'm like, oh boy, right? Like, okay, Got some responsibility, got some job to help equip you guys. So when we talk about things and walk through scriptures and don't ignore scriptures and talk about the dirty details of following Christ and eradicating sin from our life, it's not because I like to share those things or because I want to hit hard scriptures, but it's because I want you to be equipped to be God's people. And I beg you to live out that calling, just like Paul is saying. It's because I beg of you to be equipped and live that out. And that some of that responsibility falls back on me if you're a member of this church. And I can't take that lightly because scripture is very bold about that. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ, the righteousness that we're training for, the standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. So there takes a little bit of the weight off of me as the equipper to say, all right, you're the acting shepherd, but God is the head. He is the ultimate good shepherd. He is running the show. So that gives me that little window of grace. It's like, all right, Jesus, take this, right? Right, Carrie Underwood, right? Jesus, take the, you know, Jesus, take the wheel, right? So Christ is leading this as the head as we seek him to run the show. And the last verse, he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Amen. Amen. Your part matters to us. Your part matters to the local body of believers, the bride of Christ, the local church, but also to the ultimate body of Christ worldwide. Your part matters because you have been given a gift. You have been given a special work. You have been given a talent, a burden, a passion, a cause, a drive. So whatever it may be, whatever fruit of the Spirit or gift of God that is growing up and bubbling out of you, whatever gets you going in the morning, whatever the cause that matters, if you're all fired up because we need more evangelism, you might have that gift of evangelism. If you're all fired up because you want to encourage people, then you've probably got that gift of encouragement. If you go to certain classes and you're like, man, we need some teachers in this place, maybe you have that gift of teaching, maybe whatever it may be. If you're wildly wealthy beyond your imagination and anybody else here, but holy cow, what is going on here? You can say, okay, maybe I have the, and it does exist, the gift of generosity. Maybe God has called you to that. But we all have these special gifts and these special works that we're called to do. And when we thrive in those together, you not pretending to be me and me not pretending to be you, then I can tell you that the church is healthy, that the church is growing, that the church is full of love, that lives are being changed, that the church is expanding worldwide and locally, because Christian community matters, and it matters so much that we do this together, because I am better in my special work when you are doing your special work, and you are better in your special work when I am doing my special work. Because we all grow together. You're a real funny looking human if I was missing some fingers or arms or legs or a head, right? To make the whole body work the way that it's meant to, everybody matters. So I want you to know, in these matters of Christian community, that even though you and I can absolutely live like islands, in our modern world, you can get through a long time without actually interacting face to face with a human. and you can probably save yourself a whole lot of strife. You probably can. But at what cost? At what cost? Is it these costs of growth? Is it these costs of impact? It's so important that you and I come together and brush shoulders and encourage each other and stir each other on in Christian faith. To say, we can come and just openly, vulnerably and say, listen, I need a brother or sister in Christ today. It's not just big church. It's not just little Bible studies. It's not just kids programs. It's not just photo albums, and it's not just the giving boxes. It's not just the prayer team, but it's sitting together and brushing shoulders and saying, okay, this is called organic church community, right? So organic church community isn't like, well, I don't know anybody because I can't go to the Bible study or I can't do this or that or the other thing. It has to look like this. No, organic Christian community means, hey, I brushed shoulders with somebody and I looked down the aisle. I was like, you know what? Maybe I want to get to know that person. And maybe that doesn't have to be at a church program. Maybe that can be, you want to go grab some coffee over at Ginger Snapped or some hot chocolate or some hot tea or something like that. And just want to talk because you're looking for some of that Christian community so you can stir each other on. I want us to be like that. I want to see, you know, it'd be awesome to see more of that happening amongst us all as we build relationships. You know, if you invite someone over, don't say, hey, I want to take you to Ginger Snap because, I really want you to be my Christian mentor. Don't do that, like, because then that person be like, you're going to ask me really hard questions. I'm not interested, right? No, just build a friendship, right? These are good things. These are good things. As Christian community grows together. And it absolutely matters. It still matters today. And I am glad you're here. I love you. Thank you for being here. You need it. I need it. We need each other. Won't you pray with me? The worship team is going to come close us out. Father God, I love you, I praise you, I thank you so much for each person in this room and the fact that they decided to climb up out of their basements and get into their cars today and drive here to worship you as the body of Christ. May we always be stirring each other on towards love and good works and more far-reaching and incredible levels of righteousness. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you. We thank you for the cross of Christ. We thank you for the resurrection. We thank you for life abundant. Lord, may you always be building and deepening our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We love you and we praise you in your holy name. Amen.